And at this time, I'm just going to ask and that if Teen Challenge would come and prepare themselves, and that we do have a video and a little bit of an announcement first.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Julie, and I'm the development team leader at the Teen Challenge Ontario Women's Centre. And I feel so blessed already this morning just by worshiping with you and everybody making us feel like family and just worshiping God as our Father. And what great love that we can be called children of our Most High God and the King of Kings. I think we last visited here in 2014, so quite a few years ago, but this time we're here with our choir, so you're in for a treat, and I know you'll be blessed by their beautiful voices, and we are so excited to be here today. We give God all the glory as we tell of His amazing grace and His unending love for us as we share our testimonies and as we sing praises to our Savior. He is a God who never changes, and He continues to do miracles and in transforming the lives of the broken and the lost through the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And we know the world around us today in our society is so filled with so much hurt and brokenness. Our Women's Center is located in King City, just off the 400, about half hour south of Barrie. We woke up to a couple inches of snow on the cars this morning, but we made it here safely, praise God. And it's a beautiful, large, quiet country property, and we just have a newly renovated barn on our property, and that houses our chapel and the classroom for the women at our center. The Men's Center is located in London. And so we are a 12-month faith-based residential rehabilitation center. That means that the women who we call students in our program, they commit to a year-long living together in community, and they work through their difficult pasts and hurts. And as you might expect, that definitely has its challenges, all the women in one home. But extraordinary victories and lifelong friendships do take place here. They are courageous women. They are investing a whole year of their life to find freedom so that they have a future of a new life. And many of the women are sacrificing time away from their children, their husbands, their families, and education to find the healing that they need to be productive in their lives back home. And contrary to what the name Teen Challenge may lead you to believe, it is for women aged 18 years and older. And we have room for 20 women in the program, and I think we're at 19 right now, and pretty soon we'll be at capacity. And after the year, women are encouraged to stay on for a phase 4, and that helps them transition back into society while still living at the residence and getting the support that they need. And we can house 6 phase 4 students at a time, and we do have one who's with us here today. Currently, we are the only women's teen challenge in Canada, but 2 more will soon be opening, one in Saskatchewan and one in Newfoundland. And we praise God that we are able to help more women across the country. And we ask for prayer that those provisions can be met for these centers and for the women who will be entering those doors. And we know there is an epidemic in our country with the opioid crisis. And last year, over 1,200 people died of opioid overdose in Ontario alone. And we know with the legalization of marijuana recently, that could obviously continue to rise. And that's a heartbreaking number. These are moms and dads, sons, daughters, brothers, and sisters who are cherished and will be missed. So we pray that we can reach more of those who are struggling and that they may seek help and find freedom in Christ. The mission of Teen Challenge Canada is to help these men and women overcome substance addiction to lead full and productive lives. We are committed to help people find freedom from their drug and alcohol addictions and endeavor to provide a balance of love, accountability, and training to prepare an individual for successful reentry into society. We value people, from the individuals who enter our program to our staff, our volunteers, to the churches we are blessed to share with. Each person we come into contact with is a gift from God and a part of the continued success of our program. And we are not government-funded. Our doors are open today because of donations and generosity shown by people in churches. The actual cost for one student to go through the program is $50,000 for the whole year. And we only ask for a one-time application fee of $100 and a intake fee of $1,000. So $1,100 for the whole year, and the rest is based on churches and donations and our partners. We do firmly believe there is hope for everyone and permanent freedom from addiction can be attained. Maybe today you're sitting here and you're feeling hopeless and facing a situation that seems impossible. Maybe it's addiction or a loved one who's in addiction or other trials that make you feel overwhelmed. God can make the impossible possible. It's through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross that sins are forgiven and new life filled with hope begins. He is waiting with open arms to redeem and restore the broken and the lost and bring freedom from the chains of addiction. And you'll hear the stories today of the truth of that. We have Alicia and Eden today who will be sharing their testimonies. And they each have their own journey, having been in a place so dark and broken. And now they're experiencing freedom in Christ and growing in a relationship with him. So I would just like the... Yes, give them all applause. They are courageous women. So just now, if we can have the video play about Teen Challenge, and then I'll invite the women up, and they can do their presentation for you.
Teen Challenge Canada is a faith-based residential program that helps adult men and women overcome drug and alcohol addictions. Each person comes with a story. Some dull their pain with marijuana. Others abuse prescription pills, alcohol, cocaine, methamphetamines, or crack. All have lost control of their lives. They're business owners, skilled tradesmen, computer programmers, general laborers, and hairdressers. Because of their addictions, their lives are littered with destruction, broken marriages, failed education, lost jobs, defaulted mortgages, and children taken away. To meet the growing need for addiction treatment in Canada, Teen Challenge operates 6 sites across the country for adults over the age of 18. Through basic biblical principles, students in our program learn that they are valued and can contribute to society. Best of all, they discover that God gives them hope, freedom, and a tomorrow. Teen Challenge founder David Wilkerson taught these same principles. He started the organization in 1958 in New York City. His pioneering work resulted in more than 1,100 centers in 92 countries. In our holistic program, men and women get healthy in body, mind, and spirit as they eat nutritious food, exercise regularly, and connect with God. With help from our staff and certified addictions counselors, students identify root issues, bullying, dysfunctional families, divorce, death of a loved one, rejection, abandonment, and abuse. These and other deep hurts drive people to drugs and alcohol for relief. Preparing to live productively, they learn to balance a checkbook, use a computer, and speak publicly. Students are guided to become better parents and spouses. Through work duty and internships, valuable job skills are gained. Those who have not completed high school are assisted to get their GED. You can help even more men and women start a new life through Teen Challenge. Take a tour at one of our 6 centers to find out more about our ministry. Volunteer. You can mentor a man or a woman or share a skill with our students. Celebrate with us at a student graduation ceremony. Attend a fundraiser. Choose from a golf classic, a freedom ride and silent auction, a fundraising banquet, or our annual Christmas concert. Invite the Teen Challenge Choir to perform at your church or community group. Pray. Your ongoing prayers enable our students to overcome challenges. Sponsor a student for just $40 a month. Your financial support and notes of encouragement keep our students motivated to stay in the program. Consider a one-time gift toward our operating expenses or a special project. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of those struggling with addictions.
Hi, my name is Alicia, and from the scripture already, as you heard, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12, verse 11a. I grew up in a loving Christian home with loving parents, 3 sisters, and 2 brothers. Life was good on the outside. But on the inside, I harbored pain, shame, hurt, and fear, as I was subjected to physical, sexual, and emotional abuse in my childhood and then again in my teen years. This involved people who were trusted by my family, which ultimately led me to believe in the many lies of the enemy. I began believing I was worthless, that the events were all my fault, and thought that I was supposed to be treated poorly by any male figures in my life. I lost all trust and lived in fear. To fill the void and numb the negative feelings I held on to inside, I began partying and drinking every weekend and any other chance I could get. I thought when I got married and had kids, I could stop and lead a normal, productive life. In August of 2002, I got married, but the drinking continued for a year, and then I found out I was pregnant. After my son was born, I suffered from severe postpartum depression, which led me to drink more and ultimately fight more with my husband. My insecurities, fears, trust issues came out full force, and fighting became more the norm for us. During these years, I lost my license, and the drinking got worse. It led me to many hospital visits. One particular visit, I had alcohol levels almost 6 times over the legal limit, which should have killed me. I tried to end my life many times by taking pills and drinking, but God was there, and he wasn't done with me yet. In 2008, God blessed us with a second child, a baby girl. Unfortunately, after, depression had hit me harder than before. To keep peace in the family, I entered into the doors of Teen Challenge in August of 2009. During my time, I was not surrendering all and didn't look at my own individual healing, but I rather focused on the healing of my marriage. I graduated in August of 2010. I went home to soon find out that I did not allow God to fully heal me, nor did I learn to depend on him completely. And then the stresses of life became unbearable, for me, which led me to allow the old self to take over, and drinking became my normal everyday life again. Soon after, with many nights and days of fighting, I found myself living in a shelter and holding separation papers. Without a lawyer, my ex withheld access to our children until I signed the papers. I then regrettably and unknowingly signed him full custody of our 2 children. In this pain and upset, I went on a 3-month binge, which led me to use drugs for the first time. I then went to another 3-month rehab program. Afterwards, sobriety lasted only a few months. The next couple of years, I was involved with the wrong people. I met a guy who I thought cared for me, but it turned out he just wanted company to drink with, and then he introduced me to crack. This led me to use on the weekends, and I wouldn't care about my family or my kids. I soon distanced myself from him after that and moved out into the country where I worked for my uncle raising cattle. I quit using drugs, but I continued alcohol. I soon entered into another relationship, which I was hoping was the one, but soon enough, I found myself being used and abused. I was introduced to pills, and I felt good, and I didn't need to drink. I soon found out he was stealing money and also using harder drugs, which devastated me. We started to argue, and soon enough, the abuse started. I quickly fell into depression and started to avoid family during a time I should have been there more to help out, as my mom, who was sick with cancer, which soon after she had lost her battle. From here, I went downhill and picked up the booze again. And soon enough, my boyfriend was told to leave by my uncle, who saw my hurt and that I was going downwards. A week later, I found out I was pregnant. I was all alone, scared, and I believed I couldn't talk to anyone. I drank in hopes to lose the baby and ultimately my life. I soon did what I thought would be the easiest option and chose an abortion. This decision almost immediately haunted me, and my drinking got uncontrollable to the point I was writing out songs for my own funeral. I lost my job and the place I was living because of my drinking. I drank every day, morning to night. After I had moved in with a bunch of other addicts in a apartment building in town. Within a month, I got so depressed I had written letters to all my loved ones and my own funeral out on paper. I drank, not caring if I died. But then there was an accidental death in the family, and that had changed my perspective. And then 6 weeks after that, my dad, the only one who I thought loved and cared for me, suddenly passed away. I was angry and mad at God. It felt like everyone I loved was gone. The next few months, I continued to drink and started using crack again, as it was available just down the hall from me. I didn't care anymore, for I was tired and broken. It was years of fighting in and out of court with my ex-husband about the children visitations and the losses I endured. I felt overburdened. I was weary, tired, and full of grief. Psalm 20, verses 1 and 2. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. I was saved from the pit as I got a room at a transition house, and after a few months, I surrendered and called Teen Challenge. And with many prayers from people, many people who I learned cared for me, I walked into the doors of Teen Challenge on April 16th of this year. I am continuously learning that I am not defined by anything that has been done to me or what I have done. There is pain in being pruned, in having old limbs cut and clipped, and allowing new growth. There is feeling vulnerable and stripped. But there is joy in having all the old limbs being cut and seeing all the new buds grow. I am learning to surrender and allowing God to heal my pain and hurts, and learn to trust that his plan for me is the one that I could never imagine, and be the mother I was meant to be. I have been able to start grieving and healing the right way. He will give me the desires of my heart and make all my plans succeed. Thank you.
It was midnight on December the 14th, 2012, and I had just taken many pills and some poison in an attempt to end my life. When I could see they were not working and I still felt fine, I cut myself until I had lost a lot of blood. I figured the pills, poison, and blood loss would be enough to do the job. Then after a few hours of nothing detrimental happening to me, not even a pain in my stomach, I decided to grab my hairdryer, turn it on, and take it into the shower with me. As soon as I entered the bathroom, I dropped the hairdryer and passed out from the blood loss, falling to the ground. When I woke up, I had a swollen lip and was unaware of God's direct intervention into my life moments before. I had forgotten about the hairdryer, so I crawled back to my room and into bed. I turned off the lights and laid in the pitch black in the basement of a friend's home for the next 3 days and nights, waiting to die until someone turned on the light and found me. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Psalm 139, 1-12. Good morning, my name is Eden. I was born and raised outside of Strathroy, Ontario. My family moved to a farm when I was 11 years old, and it was a difficult move for me. My dad was a hard worker, and my mother worked on the farm too, although the workload led her into a depression. I cannot call my childhood idyllic, as I was abused by my mother from the time I was 3. My earliest memories are of being slapped for saying the wrong things as a 3-year-old. This continued all throughout my growing up years, and I never felt safe at home. Because of my mother's anger, I never knew what I would have to face when I arrived home from school. My mother would erupt in anger, physically abuse my brother and I, and then ask for forgiveness, all before my father arrived home from work at night. It was always understood we could not tell my father what was happening or the punishment for my mother would be severe. I found this time very confusing because my home was a very Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. My father led worship and my mother played piano. We looked great on the outside, but on the inside, my brother and I were hurting and scared much of the time. We never felt safe until my father arrived home from work, but when he did, it was wonderful, and we were a happy family. High school started out with difficulty. I was very unsure of myself because of my upbringing. Later in high school, I became very involved in youth group and developed some solid friendships. I became a hardcore Christian and always preaching to my friends or doling out advice, whether solicited or not. After high school, I went to Bible college for 4 years to complete my Bachelor of Theology. In my third year of Bible college, I met my future husband and began dating him. He was everything my family was not. I found myself drawn to him because he came from a very healthy and loving family, which seemed so different from my home background, and we married in August of 2002. My husband graduated, and we took a job at a new church in south of Barrie. We worked there for a year, then moved in with my husband's parents, as I was 7 months pregnant at the time. My husband took a local job, and we had our first daughter. She was a joy and a blessing to our lives and a welcome distraction for me. We led worship at our local church and again felt called into ministry. We accepted a new pastoral position in a new town. I gave birth to my second child, a beautiful boy, and I was thrilled. After the birth of my son, I began to have migraines for the first time. I went to the doctor and was prescribed codeine for the migraines. As life closed in on me as a stay-at-home mom with a four-year-old and a newborn, I began to take the codeine in increasing amounts. This became my way of coping with life, especially since I was now a pastor's wife and an introvert, someone who had never done crowds very well. I know, right? Why did I go into ministry? But I have always found it difficult to be in the public eye, and church was the public eye, even if in only a small way. I took more and more codeine as it allowed me to put a smile on my face and become an enthusiastic extrovert. I increased my use of codeine to the point where I spent every day finding new ways to obtain it. I became so heavily addicted that I eventually told my husband he should take me to my parents' house so I could detox. It was a very difficult time, but I detoxed there and was very sick coming off the codeine I was addicted to. I went back home and began to see a psychiatrist. She put me on new medication, but I also started using the codeine again, and the combination sprouted new feelings of seeking fulfillment outside of my marriage. I began to actively seek it. It wasn't long before I had betrayed my marriage and my family. This was the beginning of a downward spiral for me. I told my husband I wanted a divorce and told him all the reasons why we should. As I had always been the leader of the home, he followed my leadership. Because of the medication I was on, in combination with the codeine I was also taking, I began to hear a voice in my mind, which increased as time went on and I continued to use these drugs. I thought I was hearing God's voice, but as time went on, it turned out to be exactly the opposite. I began to withdraw from the world and spend hours and hours alone, listening to the voice as though it was my best friend. It wasn't so much a voice as it was a very loud stream of thoughts in my mind, but for the purposes of this testimony, I will call it a voice. This voice was very entertaining and made me laugh for hours and began to show me things I had never seen before. It told me of a life that awaited me if I believed in it and followed its direction, and so I did, which led me to some very bizarre behavior. After about 7 months of living this way, I moved out of my home, left my children with my husband, and went to live in the basement of a friend's house. I continued to withdraw and spent hours conversing with the voice in my mind while still taking the medication prescribed for me by my psychiatrist, along with the codeine. This dangerous combination is the very thing which led me into this drug-induced psychosis. The voice I was hearing made me feel extremely special, which is why it was so addictive and powerful in my life. I did not see how life was becoming upside down for me, where black was becoming white and white was becoming black. It led me to the darkest days of my existence, and it was on December the 14th, 2012, that the voice told me to end my life. When my friends found me in the dark, alone in the basement of their home, waiting to die, the ambulance was called and I was taken to the hospital and immediately worked on by the nurses and doctors. My parents came, picked me up, and took me home to the farm. I was still under a massive delusion, and it was a very long, cold process coming out of it. It was only the harsh light of continual reality that showed me my delusion for what it was, the combined lies of the devil. I slowly began ignoring the voice day after day until it finally went away completely, which was one of among many miracles I experienced in those dark days. This took about a year. This was the most painful journey of my life as reality began to sink in and I began to see the things I had lost. I had lost my family, my husband, and my children, and I could not get them back because my husband remarried immediately after I had left. I did not know what to do or how to cope, so I continued using codeine, but it would not alleviate my pain. Eventually, I was found by a member of a 12-step program. She welcomed me to my first 12-step meeting, which I had no idea I needed at the time. From there, I began to attend AA and NA meetings for my substance addiction. I attended a 19-day rehab facility, which taught me all about my addiction. It was my intention to get clean and never use again, but I could never stay clean for more than 4 months at a time because of the severe emotional pain I was in. I came to understand the reason is because even though I had a higher power, I still needed Jesus in my life. Over the next 3 years, I continued to use on and off, and the last 2 years I used all day, every day, until finally I decided it was time to do something about it, and I called Teen Challenge. I came to Teen Challenge May 7th, 2018. I thought, what better thing would there be than to every day be seeking Jesus? I hear stories of women's lives changing, and I have great hope. Since I've been here, God has been restoring me and healing me from the many hurts I have caused myself and my family. I am learning to receive God's forgiveness as well as learning to forgive myself. Before I became addicted to codeine, I had never really understood why Jesus was important. I mean, I loved God, but sort of ignored Jesus because I had never really done anything bad enough to need his mercy and forgiveness. After I became addicted to codeine, then I rededicated my life to God. I have clung to Christ for my salvation. He is the one who has forgiven me and is healing me from this disease. It is in him that I now find my identity, and it is because of his mercy and goodness that my life is being redeemed. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 103, 1-5.
Oh, John 10 tells us that the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus comes so that we may have life and have it to the full. And we just heard that in the stories, and it's just amazing to see the power of Jesus in the lives of these women and just see the hope and the joy in them as they're singing up here. I have such a heart for the women and a passion for the success of Teen Challenge because God used the center to change my own life. I also was a student, and I completed the program and graduated in May 2016, and I'm a testimony of a redeemed life. My desire is to be used. Thank you. And my desire is to be used by God for his purposes and glory, and to see more people saved by the power of the cross like I am. Before coming to Teen Challenge, alcohol addiction had consumed my life for about 10 years. I was miserable, and I hated who I was and the choices I was making. I felt my life was such a failure and a waste, and that there was nothing to live for. I had sincerely attempted to stop so many times, and I had failed, and I really felt that there was no way out and no hope for me. I watched people living their lives around me, and they were furthering their education, celebrating birthdays, getting married, but even simple things like grocery shopping or going out for coffee or going to family events seemed impossible for me to face without craving something to drink. And I would cry all the time in frustration, and I was angry because I wanted to be normal, and I couldn't see my life without alcohol. And there is no real tragic event that started that spiral out of control. My childhood was great. I grew up in a Christian home, had Christian education, went to church twice every Sunday. I got great marks. There was no alcohol addiction or any type of addiction in my family. However, growing up, I never really learned to express what I was feeling, and I never shared my personal thoughts or emotions or my struggles with anybody. I knew all about the Bible and its stories, but it was just head knowledge, and I had no relationship with Jesus. And my addiction was a progression that began after high school when I turned my back on Jesus to live life how I wanted. I turned to all the things of the world to satisfy, and over time I lost all the morals that I had once valued. And I was extremely shy, and I was self-conscious, and I was always full of anxiety around new situations. So the promise of alcohol's liquid courage worked for me for a little while to be more of that fun, outgoing girl I had envisioned myself to be. But as with all the schemes of the devil, what once seemed like the answer soon ripped everything from me and led me towards destruction and death. So I began to rely more and more on alcohol to escape from the realities of life and all of my insecurities. When I felt uncomfortable or had feelings that I didn't like, I drank. And soon it was night and day, and blackouts were common. And I could never have imagined that my life would have ever turned out that way. I had no idea who I was anymore or what I stood for. I also didn't realize the impact that my alcohol addiction was having on those who loved me and cared for me. I was at my rock bottom and on a waiting list for another secular program when I looked into Teen Challenge. Deep down, I knew it was Jesus that I needed, and I had been resisting him for years, and part of it was pride that my family was right and, you know, that I knew they were praying for me, but I wanted to do it on my own. When I entered the doors of Teen Challenge, though, I saw women further along in the program, and they had their arms raised, and they were praising Jesus, and I wanted that peace and that relationship with him myself. But at that time, I felt it wasn't possible for me. But God transformed my heart and my mind that year in the program, and he continues to do so. So now I'm happy to say I am one of those women, and I'm eager to raise my arms and praise Jesus and share my love for him to others. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I don't know if I'd even be alive today without Teen Challenge. And you've heard stories, too, of how deep and how dark addiction can take us. I know for sure I wouldn't be up here telling you about Jesus without Teen Challenge. God not only used it to save me physically, but I've been saved spiritually and to spend eternity worshiping my Savior. I'm now living a life I never thought possible 3 years ago. It's such a wonderful feeling to feel present in every sense of that word. I spend quality time with family and friends. My family had all prayed for me for so many years, and now I no longer have to feel like that outsider with them, and I can be an aunt that all my nieces and nephews can look up to. I now know I'm loved, and I'm accepted by my Heavenly Father for who I am. He loves me so much, he actually sent his only son to suffer and die for me. Jesus is my everything. My treasure and my home is in heaven. I'm so excited to be working for Teen Challenge. I just recently joined at the end of April, and it truly is a blessing and a privilege to be used by God in this ministry and also to get to know all the women. So I want to say thank you. Words can't express how grateful I am for people and churches like you. Before we close, I wanted to give a few ways in which you could prayerfully consider partnering with us. And first is prayer. The first way, Teen Challenge, it was founded on prayer. And we are sustained by prayer, and our future depends on it. And we know prayer is so very powerful. Please pray for our students in the program. It can be very difficult and challenging. And we also pray for our provisions to be met. You can also provide us a one-time gift towards the organization. Our tax receiptable. You can write a check to Teen Challenge, or give cash or credit card donation, and we have forms and everything at the back table. Please come see us afterwards. You can also become a monthly sponsor, and everyone today received a brochure in their bulletin, and inside of that you can learn more about us, and it's also your opportunity to become a sponsor. So a sponsorship is $40 a month, and that connects you with one of the women in our program. And this is a story card that you will receive, and I have Alicia, who shared her testimony, and it talks about her life and her struggles, what they're hoping to achieve in the program, and future goals. And as a sponsor, you can also send them cards and notes of encouragement. I know for myself, when I was a student, it was so encouraging to receive letters from people who didn't even know me and hear that they're praying for me, and they have my card up on their fridge, and they pray for me every morning. You can also go to their graduation. You'll receive an invitation for that in the mail once they're completed the program. And I just want you to know that when you sponsor a woman or donate to our center, you really are investing to save a life. Just like addiction can have a negative effect on those around them, when Jesus changes a life, it has a positive impact on many others. And that was not my phone. I don't know what that was. These women go home to friends and relatives, and they can see the miracle of a new life and hear about how Jesus worked in their lives. The women can give hope to those back home and to those who are struggling, and other people can relate to their stories. And it's just more than a humanitarian cause that you're giving to. It has an eternal impact. Souls are entering heaven through the work that God's doing at Teen Challenge. And again, please come see us at the table. You can also grab a business card and connect with us to be a voice for your church, to connect with our Teen Challenge Center, and let so that we can tell you the needs of our center. We do have Christmas concerts coming up November 23rd in Newmarket and November 30th in London, and that's combined with the Men's Center. I know it's a bit of a way, but driving, but it really is worth it. It's such a fun and great night. So once again, thank you for hosting us, and my prayer is that God used what you heard today to know more of who he is, his great power to change lives, and his love for us all. He does work in all things for our good and his glory, and he promises to never leave us or forsake us. And if you or somebody you know is struggling in addiction, we have information and we also have application processes with us that you can take home. One more thing I want to say is don't wait, because investing a year and sacrificing a year of your life, it's so worth it to get the rest of your life back. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life or how often you've fallen, Jesus wants you to come to him. He died for you and for me, and he's the shepherd who leaves the 99 to find that one that's lost. So we thank you for your encouragement, for allowing us this gift of time today, and hearing our stories and our songs. And it really is such a privilege and a blessing to be here. So thank you all, and I'll just pass it back to you, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen.